Blog Talk Radio.
Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan.
The best sports radio show the internet can handle.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan live via blogtalkradio.com. Evan Brandoff finally decided to come back to the show tonight. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Brandoff, and I'm here and ready to go. And starting off with some big news, Cornell is the first team going to the dance. They went undefeated in their conference, in their league against the Ivy League schools, and they're going, and first time in 20 years that they are going to the dance, they could be as good as a 13 seed. So, that's incredible. My brothers went to Cornell. I want to go to Cornell. And hopefully we can keep the good basketball team going.
So they're playing basketball now? They're not dancing? You're switching things up on me. I'm very confused.
Mark, just go on with the show. You're not funny.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for that very interesting news. A lot of things to talk about tonight. We got lots of NFL transactions, lots of NHL transactions, tight playoff push in the NHL, Yankees and Mets spring training. So let's get started. We'll start with baseball, Yankees and Mets. And I want to start off with the New York Mets, who beat the Los Angeles Dodgers today, Joe Torre's team, who's not used to losing, but he did lose. But one thing I want to start off with is David Wright and Billy Wagner are very upset with Lasthing's Millage, who is now a Washington National. And Lasthing's Millage is constantly bashing the Mets, and they said that they've had it. I have a quote from David Wright, which says, "You're a Washington National now. Don't worry about what happened last year or the year before that. Just go out there and try to help the Nationals win. It makes no sense to bash your former team. He needs to turn the page and worry about helping the Washington Nationals. Forget about what we're doing over here. Forget about the New York Mets." Evan, your thoughts on the Mets getting fed up with Lasthing's Millage?
You know, it's not really a big deal. It's still spring training, but, you know, just some controversy going on in the clubhouse. Mets have a lot of things going on in the clubhouse, a lot of injuries, one of which Carlos Delgado. He got an MRI. It was negative, which is good. He's only going to be out a couple of days. But you look, if you go to Roto-World, people, there's a lot of injuries.
Well, speaking of the Mets' injuries, they have Carlos Beltran hurt. He's going to have surgery on both knees. Luis Castillo's getting surgery on both knees. Orlando Hernandez is going to get surgery on his toe. Damian Easley has a severely sprained ankle. Andy Chavez has an ankle injury. Jose Valentin is having knee surgery. Carlos Delgado, a sore right hip. Ryan Church collided yesterday with Marlon Anderson. Ryan Church suffered a concussion from the collision, and Marlon Anderson had a bruised chest. So those are the injuries that the Mets are suffering right now. So they certainly do have a lot of problems there in that clubhouse. And just to continue on with the clubhouse, a lot of people speaking out saying that they're the team to beat. And I don't think that Willie Randolph is doing a good job keeping that clubhouse, you know, team, I guess you could say. You know, they're saying a lot of things. What do you think about that, Evan?
You're 100% right. They collapsed last season. At the end of the season, you could see that things weren't going very well in the clubhouse, or they wouldn't have had that collapse the second half of the season. And it seems like things aren't getting much better now. I mean, they got Johan, and everyone was so excited to watch him pitch. Everyone was on the top step of the dugout the first time he was throwing his pitches. And how often do you see that in spring training? But Johan did not have a great outing. He let up some hits. I mean, it wasn't horrible, and it is only spring training, but Jabba was perfect in his spring training start. But that's another story. But the Mets, they apparently the chemistry isn't great right now, and they're going to need to do something about it, or else, even though they have all the skills, we could have a repeat of last season.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they're out there saying that they're the team to beat, it's definitely ridiculous at this point. It's too early to tell. Santana did get hammered yesterday.
Can they be the team to beat if they didn't even make the playoffs last season? They only added one player.
They feel that this year they have the team. Just for Santana's day, he went two innings, allowed four hits, three runs, all of them earned. He struck out one. He allowed one home run. And he threw 23 strikes to 9 balls, but most of those strikes were hits. Four of them were, one of being a home run. So not a good day for Johan Santana at all. But I don't think Mets fans should be worried about that at all. Santana will be fine during the regular season. He'll be working at it in spring training. He's probably just a little out of it, hasn't played in a while, like most of the pitchers.
Yeah, just one thing that Mets fans should be a little bit concerned about is Johan is a fly ball pitcher, and he did let up, I think it was the third most home runs in the league last season. He let up another home run the other day, and Mets fans should be careful. I mean, they shouldn't. The Mets fans shouldn't be careful. You know what I mean? They should keep an eye out for that. He could let up a lot of home runs, and that could end up hurting the Mets a little bit. But supposedly he's a good pitcher, so maybe he can get some home runs back for the Mets. Supposedly he's a good hitter. Did I say hitter or pitcher?
You did say pitcher.
I meant to say supposedly he's a good hitter, so he can get some home runs back for the Mets potentially. But I don't think Johan is something that the Mets should be worried about at all. It should be the chemistry going on in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the only other problem is I just mentioned the whole list of injuries, but
yeah,
that's definitely, I mean, I'm not going to say that the players are wrong by saying that they're the team to beat. However, I don't think that they should be talking that much. I think they should just play the game, and that's that. So as I mentioned, today Mets beat the Dodgers 6-5, and yesterday the Mets beat the Dodgers 1-0. And so the Mets are winning some of their spring training games, and they are beating the Dodgers. Joe Torre went from the Yankees as a winner. He's losing, but I mean, you can't really think much of it. It is only spring training, but still something to look at. But now let's move into the New York Yankees. There's a lot of stuff going on with them as well. And first I want to talk about what Hank Steinbrenner said about Red Sox Nation. And he said, Red Sox Nation, that was a creation of the Red Sox and ESPN, which is filled with Red Sox fans. This is a Yankee country. You know, Hank Steinbrenner was talking about how everywhere you go, you'll see Yankee fans. And he was bashing Red Sox Nation. What do you think about that?
I think I see some jealousy going on that Red Sox have been more of the team to beat in the AL East, and it is kind of turning into, I'm a big Yankee fan, but it is kind of turning into a Red Sox nation. You see more and more, it's not even Red Sox nation, it's becoming a Red Sox world. I went to the Dominican Republic over the summer. You know, there's a good amount of Yankee fans, but there are a lot of Red Sox fans. And some Mets fans, but the Red
and
Sox.
And some Diamondback fans and some Reds fans.
Not really. Not too many of those. But I see some jealousy, and, you know, I think there will always be more Yankee fans than Red Sox fans just because of the Yankees' history of being great and the Red Sox history of sucking for about 100 years. But if the trend keeps going this way and the Red Sox keep winning World Series and the Yankees continue to slack a little bit, it is becoming more and more of a Red Sox nation. What do you think, Mark?
I can't really say if there's always going to be more Yankee fans than Red Sox fans, but there definitely are a lot more Red Sox fans turning up as they're starting to have a little dynasty of their own there. And you know, I think Hank's just trying to get his team going. I don't know, really. But, you know, you're always going to see that. People that are associated with the Yankees will be bashing people and things that are associated with the Red Sox, just the way the baseball world is. But also, I just want to talk about some of the Yankees players. their prospects right now. Everybody's talking about the big three coming into this season, and Ian Kennedy, Jabber Chamberlain, and Phil Hughes. And all of them the other day pitched fantastically. They combined to pitch five scoreless innings the other day in a 9-3 victory over Philadelphia.
And then Kay Gallen.
If anybody's wondering about Kei Igawa, nobody's really been talking about him. But Kei Igawa, after the big three young guys did great, Kei Igawa, remember, the Yankees were playing the University of South Florida. They were playing a college team. Kei Igawa decides to come in, and he gives up the grand slam to Eric Bauman, who had only two previous at-bats at the college, and he struck out in both of them. So he hit a grand slam against Kei Igawa. In addition to that, Igawa allowed two walks and hit a man. So, I don't know what's going to be the deal with him. I don't know why the Yankees signed him. He's never been good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not that bad letting up all these home runs against a college team. Come on, it's college. This is Kei Igawa. He's supposed to be a veteran in his old league in Japan. And then he comes to the United States, and he's horrible. What is going on? Why do the Yankees waste so much money on players like this?
I had to try and match with Daisuke Matsuzaka. I had to bring in a Japanese guy of their own, and that's just going to be a huge waste of money. He's never going to be a big part of the New York Yankees. He's going to be in the minors forever. Maybe they could find a team to trade him to or something, but Kei Igawa did an awful job, but you're not too concerned about that. You didn't think Kei Igawa was going to be in the rotation or even make the team this year anyway. You know, you have a good idea of who the relievers will be. You know who the starters are. And the good news is that Ian Kennedy and Philly Hughes, who will be in the rotation for the New York Yankees, pitched great. And that's good news for the New York Yankees.
Mark, you just said you know who your relief pitchers are going to be. Who do you trust in the bullpen other than Jabba and Mariano?
Well, I don't know if I could trust anyone. I mean, if you want to go with other young players and see how maybe Ohlendorf will do, you know, I don't know what he can bring to the table. He hasn't really shown anything in the past, like last year. I mean, he is young, but, I mean, Ohlendorf is one of the young guys in there. Farnsworth, I don't trust. He gave up a home run today. Brian Bruni did not do a good job today. Jose Varas could, you know, he showed some good things last year at the end. I think Jose Varas could do some stuff. Carson
definitely do some stuff, Mark.
I mean, I think he could bring good things to the table. That's the point I'm trying to make. And then, as I said, Ohlendorf. But that, I mean, yeah, the Yankees bullpen certainly does look shaky. But hopefully, if the starters can go far. I mean, Jabba could come in for two innings if they really need him to. And then you have Mo.
Yeah, but he can't come in for two innings consistently. They have to keep his pitch count down. He's still young. I don't know if you were watching, but they have him on a strict pitch count still.
Yeah, I know.
They can't rely on him for two innings. They can't even rely on him for one inning every day. I mean, it's not going to be as strict as the Jabba rules of last season, but they certainly aren't going to be lenient with his pitching.
You're absolutely right. Just want to let our viewers know, I didn't mention it yet, if you want to contact us throughout the show, there's a couple of ways you can do that. You can call us, 718-508-9443. You can also IM us at gmen1021-1780 using AOL Instant Messenger. And if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, whether you host the show or you're registered as a listener, you could simply just talk to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. It's probably the easiest way to do it if you have a Blog Talk Radio account. Other prospects for the New York Yankees, though, that I want to talk about, you have some of the outfield prospects like Austin Jackson, and you have Brett Gardner. And these guys look really good for the Yankees right now. You have Jesus Montero, Jose Tabata, and then the pitcher who also came in the other day, Jeffrey Marquez, and those guys are all looking very good. Austin Jackson and Brett Gardner are both center fielders, so they'll eventually battle it out. Melky Cabrera is there now. Brian Cashman said that he's very excited to see those guys, Austin Jackson and Brett Gardner battle it out. But the Yankees have a lot of good hitting prospects, too, which is very good, where you have the young three, and then you have Jeffrey Marquez as a pitching prospect. And then you have Jesus Montero. And Jesus Montero, he just turned 18 last November. So, I mean, he is very young, and he's already good. I believe he was in the Yankee system. Yeah, he was in the Yankee system since he was 17 years old, which is really unbelievable. What are your thoughts on the Yankee prospects?
Keyword prospects. We're just going to have to see and wait. You know, we definitely have a lot of potential, but potential doesn't really mean anything in the MLB. You look at a lot of players that you say they have a lot of potential, then all of a sudden they're 26. And they still haven't played a game in the majors. So, but 18 years old and having an arm like that, a lot of potential. Hopefully he'll do something. I don't see him being in the majors for the next 2 to 3 years at least. They had a scouting report online, and it was saying when they expect him to get into the majors, and they didn't expect him to get into the majors until 2010. But he's the real deal when he does get in. So
Montero will probably take the place of Jorge Posada when he is done. Montero is a catching prospect.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They don't expect him to come in as a catcher until 2010 because of Jorge Posada still being the main guy and doesn't seem that he's going anywhere anytime soon, and because he's so young.
Okay, so, yeah, you're absolutely right. You never know what's going to happen when you go into the major leagues. A lot of things can change very quickly. Just a couple of more things on the Yankees. Shelly Duncan, a 5 RBI day yesterday. He had a 2-run double along with a 3-run home run. That was 5 of the Yankees' 9 runs. Chin-Ming Wong is adding a changeup to his pitches. They are investigating Roger Clemens of perjury charges, if he lied about saying that he never did HGH. Andy Pettit said yesterday he would try and stay focused. Today he went out, did a beautiful job. So that is good news that the steroid issue didn't seem to affect Andy Pettit too much. We'll be right back. We'll talk some of the football transactions. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Viral Sports Center with Mark and Evan, the best sports radio show for you to tune into. We've had News Face sports writer Jim Bandack on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, you know, we're not talking, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This is the worst, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the season. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against them than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical, and I don't think the Rangers defense is as good as the Thunder. But
we have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the 2 or 3 best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
Back-to-back-to-back, Ramirez, Rubel, Veritek. The rookie Chase Wright is making only his second career start. 4 consecutive Red Sox home runs in the 3rd inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, you know, who's running the show, and that's Hank. I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper, and who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
In addition, we've had Yankees beat writer for MLB.com, Brian Hoke, on our show.
You know, if the Yankees falter like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the internet can handle.
Okay, welcome back to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Just forgot to mention, I want to mention it now, we are broadcasting out of Jericho, and Jericho High School, the Jericho Jayhawks, yesterday defeated the Southside Cyclones in the Nassau County Class A Finals.
Let's go, Jayhawks.
Evan and I were both in attendance for that game. We were two of the 2,500 people who showed up for the game. And as the Jayhawks won the Nassau County Class A Finals, they're moving on to the Long Island Championship, the regionals. They'll be playing East Hampton next week at SUNY Old Westbury at 5 o'clock p.m. The best of luck to the Jericho Jayhawks.
And not only did they win, they killed them by 18 points. That was just incredible.
It was really a much closer game than the score showed, but, I mean, Jayhawks at the end scored the last 14 points of the game or whatever. Michael Romanelli had the last 8 points or something like that for Jericho. But Jericho played a very good game. And East Hampton at the Suffolk County team, they'll be playing the Jayhawks for the Long Island Championship. And that's definitely going to be a tough game for the Jericho Jayhawks. So the best of luck to the Jericho Jayhawks against East Hampton again. That's at SUNY Old Westbury at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time next Saturday. So, again, good luck. All right, now let's move into some football. New York Jets and New York Giants making some moves. Giants didn't really do anything. They just kind of let some players get away. But I want to start with the New York Jets, and it would be stupid for me to tell you what I thought being a Giants fan, but we'll talk to Evan in just a second. He's a Jets fan. But, Evan, I want to know what you think about the Jets getting Chris Jenkins, what you think about them getting Faneca, and what you think about them getting rid of Jonathan Vilma to the Saints for a fourth-round draft pick.
No, the Vilma one definitely hurt. I think Vilma was worth a lot more than a fourth-round draft pick, but Faneca, he is really going to make an impact on the Jets. Now, think about that with DeBrick and Faneca, and they're really going to have a great defense. But they really need some help on offense. But it looks like they may get Darren McFadden in the draft, so that could really help them a lot. But with the transactions, it's definitely going to hurt them without Vilma. And deserved a lot more than a fourth-round pick for him. But Faneca is definitely going to make a huge impact on the team. And they made him the highest-paid tackle in the league. It's a ridiculous salary. He's probably never going to see all of that money. But it's over $20 million guaranteed. So I think the Jets are going to be good next season. They're certainly better than last season with these transactions and the possible getting of Darren McFadden. What do you think, Mark?
I agree with you. I think Vilma was definitely a big loss for the Jets. I think if they were to wait to trade him until draft day, they could have gotten a much better pick than a fourth-round draft pick. I think they dealt him a little bit too early. Faneca definitely will be a huge impact for the Jets. Like you said, he's a big man. He'll make lots of contributions for them. And Faneca, he 5 years, $40 million. So, you know, that's a lot. They'll be expecting a lot out of him, and they will get a lot out of him. On the other side, New York Giants. The New York Giants has a couple of free agents go. In Kavika Mitchell, which did not surprise me. I didn't think the Giants would really try too hard to keep him. They didn't really need him. They'll get another linebacker. Not that big of a deal. They did lose Reggie Torbor and Jabril Wilson as well. Wilson is the one that surprised me the most because a couple of weeks back, the New York Giants signed Lawrence Tynes, which I still think he's terrible, and I've been saying it all season. He's pretty much paralyzed from the waist down. But they owed it to Lawrence Tynes because he got the winning field goal that got him into the Super Bowl. But with Jabril Wilson also had a fantastic playoff, series. He was fantastic throughout all of the playoffs, Jabril Wilson. And Wilson was asking for a little more than the Giants were willing to give him. But I think the Giants owed it to Jabril Wilson to sign him, too. And based on the way he played in the playoffs, I think it would have been worth re-signing him. But instead, they let Jabril Wilson go. Now, Kavika Mitchell's now a Buffalo Bill. Reggie Torbor's a Miami Dolphin. And Jabril Wilson is now an Oakland Raider. But, again, Wilson is definitely the one that surprised me the most out of those three. But I guess the Giants have some other people in mind, either in the draft or other free agents. But I guess they have some plans for the secondary, and Jabril Wilson wasn't a part of them. I mean, they could have tried to sign him. Again, he was a free agent. He wasn't traded or anything. So it's not like the Giants were that willing to let him go. But I think, you know, they could have tried harder after Wilson, but they chose not to do that. So that was a little bit surprising in my mind. Any thoughts on the Giants free agents there, Evan?
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. A little bit disappointing, like you said. But, you know, the Giants, I don't know why. The one transaction with Tom Coughlin, do you think he really deserves that much money?
I do. I mean, obviously, he just won the Super Bowl, so you...
Oh!
I did say obviously, no need for that.
No, I was laughing, Viz. Did you learn that on Giants.com?
Yeah, Giants.com still, when you first go, it says New York Giants Super Bowl champs. You know, it's pretty obvious at this point. But anyway, I think Coughlin deserved the money that he got. I mean, he's brought them to the playoffs every year, even if they didn't go far past it. And then this year he won the Super Bowl, so if you're getting playoff appearances and then you end up beating the best team in football for a Super Bowl title, I mean, that's expected to give him that much money. You don't agree?
Yeah, I guess he does deserve that much money. But if you think a few months ago, everyone on the Giants hated him, and now all of a sudden he's like their savior.
Well,
but
this whole year they liked him. Last year they didn't like him. This year he was the whole nicer guy. Everybody liked him. And then he went to the Super Bowl, so everyone liked him more. I mean, you can't criticize the Giants for signing a coach to that deal who brought you to the playoffs every year and now won the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't see anybody criticizing that.
Yeah, I guess I have to agree with you there. But that is a lot of money to spend on him. But hopefully it'll pay off for the Giants. But it's definitely going to hurt them losing a lot of people on defense. And, Mark, is Michael Strahan going to return?
I think he will come back for one more year.
How much? He wants $10 million to come back for another year. How do you think that the Giants are actually going to pay him?
If they could negotiate some kind of deal, I would say somewhere between $6 and $8 million. I don't know if they'll give him $10 million, but we'll have to wait on that. It wouldn't surprise me if Michael Strahan were to retire. He got his Super Bowl ring. So, I mean, that's what all NFL players are playing for. And I don't know if he's really going to feel, okay, well, let's just win the next 7 Super Bowls in a row. But I think he will come back for one more year. He loves the game of football, and he still has the skills. And I think that the Giants and Strahan will be able to negotiate some kind of a deal, and he'll come back for at least one more year. They'll probably end up signing him to a 2-year deal, so that way he's not one of those lame duck kind of things, and then he would retire. But I would see Strahan coming back. What do you think?
You know, I agree with you. You look at him, he just doesn't look like he's ready to let it go. How can you let it go after winning the Super Bowl? People say they want to end on a high note, you want to win the Super Bowl and get out. But after that amazing season, how do you just let it go, you know?
It's hard to walk away from. It is.
How much do you think Tiki was hitting himself after the season, after the Giants won? He's not going to admit it, but how much do you think?
Yeah, he'll never admit it, but he's got to be angry. And not just that he retired and then the next season he won, but the fact that he was criticizing Eli Manning's leadership, and then he ended up leading the team to the Super Bowl. You know, that's not going to make him happy. The fact that he left and the fact that he was wrong. So that's two big negatives right there. Again, if you want to contact us during the show, call us, 718-508-9443. You can also IM us using AOL Instant Messenger at gmen1021-1780, or you could simply talk to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. We will be back in 2 minutes. We'll talk about the NHL and the NBA. So stay tuned right here on Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan.
It's a network of shows from a group of average Joes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan Live.
Welcome, everybody, to the Coach Broke Show.
And what's up, everybody? 7:02, Sunday night. Matt and Joe Radio back again live, and welcome to the Sports Talk again on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, and welcome to Frank and Sports Guy. Welcome to Sports Talk Live.
And welcome to the Cemetery and Shane Mitch Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, people? My name is Kendrick Thomas.
And welcome to Distant Showdown here on Blog Talk Radio.
You can't call him that after the Super Bowl loss. Of course,
so Mark,
they still have the Dynasty and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
So
I mean,
Mark, who was more successful this season, the Patriots or the Giants?
Here's the question I've heard. Game one of the playoffs, who would you rather have on the mound, Johan Santana or Ching Ming Wang?
Well,
the question, who would you rather have, Moose or Pedro? Johan and Pedro are the answers.
And there's, you know, everybody says, oh, you know, this guy's good, that guy's good. You know what? I think they're all a bunch of dirtbags, if you want my truthful opinion.
And it says, yeah, I had knowledge of him using steroids, and that's just for Roger, no matter what he says or no matter what Brian Baxter says.
He wants 7 years, $150 million, just give it to him. He's worth every penny. The guy is really unbelievable.
So basically what he's saying is that as long as you're hurt, it's okay to use it. I have a sore knee. Let me put HGH in my body. Oh, I didn't know it was going to make my biceps and triceps and my forearm 3 times the size they were. I used it because I had a sore knee. That's BS.
Justin Smith deserves to be in the Pro Bowl this season.
I don't think he deserves it because he didn't get it.
Apple has teamed up with American Idol to provide American Idol performances on iTunes.
Once again, Apple with their iTunes shoving it around, shoving it in the face.
Just go to myedimedia.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show, and again, thank you for tuning in to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Definitely check out myedimedia.com. If you have a show of your own, you can easily join the network. There's a lot of shows on there, even more that are on that commercial. It's really great. So check that out. Also, check out the official site of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Go to freewebs.com/Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan, and check out lots of videos, stuff about upcoming shows. Pretty much anything you want to check out, you can check out at freewebs.com/SportsHeaven with Mark and Evan. Okay, let's continue on with our show. I want to move into the NHL, a really tight playoff race right now, but I do want to talk about some of the transactions that went on before the NHL deadline. We don't usually talk about the Devils, but I'll mention what they did. They traded right winger Cam Janssen to the St. Louis Blues for defenseman Bryce Salvador. But now getting into the New York teams, New York Islanders traded left winger Chris Simon to Minnesota. We know him, a very physical player. Ranger fans hate the guy after slashing Ryan Hollweg across the face last year. And, He doesn't possess that much hockey skill. They traded him for a 6th-round draft pick. They traded him to Minnesota. Islanders also traded defenseman Marc-Andre Bergeron to Anaheim for a 3rd-round pick in the entry draft. And the Islanders made one more move. They traded a 2008 7th-round draft pick and in return got Rob Davidson. And so that's another move that the Islanders made. And moving on, the New York Rangers, they finally got rid of Al Montoya. And I was expecting if the Rangers were to get rid of Al Montoya, I would have tried to get something more than they got, but the Rangers got rid of Al Montoya and left winger Marcel Hossa. They gave both of them to Phoenix, and then return got right winger Frederick Sjostrom, who scored his first goal today. Goalie David LeNevue and left winger Josh Gratton, and they got a conditional pick in the 2009 entry draft. So the Rangers did get a lot of players for Montoya and Marcel Hossa, but I would have expected better. They got a lot, but I would have expected better. And then the other move that the Rangers made, he also scored his first goal as a Ranger today, Christian Backman, and the Rangers gave up a fourth-round draft pick for that. Do you have any thoughts on the trades, Evan?
I think that they're all going to help the teams, and, you know, they should help the Rangers.
And the Islanders as well?
No, not the Islanders, just the Rangers. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think that these trades should make a good impact for both these teams, and I think that these players should help them down the stretch. And people like Salvador and can really make an impact on your team, you know?
Well, I just got an IM somebody saying, who would want Chris Simon? He's not good at all. I mean, all the Islanders got for him was a sixth-round draft pick, so it's not that good. I mean, I guess you can maybe like him for his physical play. Sometimes his emotions run a little bit too high. As we've seen a couple of times, he's been suspended 25 games twice. But Minnesota sees something in him, and they gave, I mean, a sixth-round draft pick. So, and so that's that. And the New York Rangers today, just going, you know, standing-wise in their games, they run their fourth straight game today. Last game was against Carolina. Today they beat the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, today against the Philadelphia Flyers, it was quite interesting because after the first period, it was 3-3, and Henrik Lundqvist was pulled. He finished out the first period, and in the second period, Steven Valiquette came out to play. Now, Steven Valiquette, if you remember, he was the goalie who started the last two times against the Flyers and shut him out both times. So after Lundqvist gave up the three goals, Tom Rennie said, all right, well, let's put in Valiquette. We've seen what he could do against the Flyers. And let's see how he does. He gave up only one goal in the two periods, which was good enough. The Rangers ended up taking a 4-3 lead in the second period. And then Nita Mackey got pulled for the Philadelphia Flyers, and Marty Biron came in. The game ended up going to a shootout, and Valiquette ended up holding the Flyers off. And the New York Rangers won it in a shootout. They currently stand in seventh place with 76 points. The game's at hand. The Rangers haven't been playing a lot of games, so it's not really an issue anymore. And so they're in seventh place, 76 points. And I want to now move into the New York Islanders, who today, now Rick DiPietro's grandmother died, so we wish the best to him and his family. So starting today with Wade Dubowitz. And we know how good Wade Dubowitz is. We saw him last year down the stretch. He hasn't had a start since January 31st this year. But he came in. We know what he can do. And he only allowed one goal. But unfortunately, that's all the Florida Panthers needed to win, as Florida won 1-0. And the Islanders, they're still outside of a playoff spot. Now, last week we were speaking about the Islanders, how good they were. They had won lots of games in a row. Then ended up losing to the Devils. But the Islanders, for the most part, have been playing really well. In their last 10 games, they're 6-4. But they find themselves in 10th place with only 69 points. And, I mean, if you want to look at good things, they do have a game in hand.
Good. They played more games than the rest of them.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I read that wrong. So they played more games, which so that's a problem for the New York Islanders.
They have a lot of things going against them. And if we go into their schedule for the rest of the season, give me one second. This computer is not doing too well tonight.
Rangers, 3-6.
Well, yeah, I wanted to see the more in-depth schedule. When you look at a few of their upcoming games, on the 6th they play the Rangers, which should be a good game. They do have a lot of success against the Rangers, and then they play the Rangers again.
Home and home series.
Yeah, it's a they play the, excuse me, they play them on the 4th and the 6th. First, they go into the city, and then they come home and play in the Coliseum on the 6th. Then they play the Flyers and the Lightning. So those are four games that the Lightning aren't doing too well, but the Rangers are very good. Always a great game, and the Rangers, the Islanders are going to struggle to battle back and get into the playoffs. Do you think that they can do it, Mark?
I'm sorry, what was the question? Do I think the Islanders could battle back and get into the playoffs? Is that the question?
Yes.
I believe that they have the potential to, but it depends how the teams ahead of them do. The key for the Islanders is that they have to keep winning games. Today's loss was completely unacceptable for the Islanders. You're fighting for a playoff spot. You have your backup goalie playing. He gives up one goal. You cannot lose a game 1-0 down the stretch. Your goalie gives up only one goal. You need to score. And with other teams, when you have games at hand and you have lots of teams ahead of you, you can't lose a game 1-0. So the key for the New York Islanders, they need to win their games, and then they just have to wait and see what happens with the teams in front of them. But the Islanders, of course, have to focus on themselves and not the teams ahead of them, and they need to win games. And at this point in the season, losing 1-0 is completely unacceptable.
I agree with you.
So, not a good job for the New York Islanders at all. Maybe their trades will help them out. They didn't today. New York Rangers trades did help them, as I said. Frederick Sjostrom and Christian Backman both got their first goals as a New York Ranger today. But Christian Backman, he's making a bunch of errors. He was in the penalty box twice today. But as long as the Rangers are not losing games, you know, it wasn't really that great giving Florida any points today. But the fact of the matter is the Rangers came out with the victory. They had 2 points. Florida Panthers do find themselves in 13th. It's not really a threat to them right now, so it wasn't that big of a deal.
No.
I'm sorry, they played the Flyers. I'm confusing the Islanders and the Rangers.
Yeah, you're confused.
The Rangers, because I knew it was bad. The Rangers gave up a point to the Flyers today, who are in 8th place, so they're fighting for the 7th spot. It wasn't good for the New York Rangers, but the Rangers did get that second point.
Still, the entire conference is very, very close.
Yeah, Montreal Canadiens lead the Eastern Conference. They have 81 points.
Yeah, but
so
the Rangers
are only 5 points.
Yeah, the Rangers are just as close to being in first place in the conference as the Islanders are to being in the playoffs. It just shows you how close it is.
But the bottom line is the first three guys are the guys who are the division leaders. New York Rangers. You know, they're 4 points out of the Atlantic, but.
How incredible would that be if all 5 teams from the Atlantic made the playoffs? Has that ever happened before?
I don't know. I'm not old enough to have that information. I would doubt it, but I'm sure it's possible. It kind of reminds me of the NFC East next year in football, because the Eagles, I think they were going to close to signing Asante Samuel, I believe. And then you have the Giants, who are the defending Super Bowl champs. You had the Cowboys, who were the number 2. So those 3 teams alone are just going to be so dominant next year. The NFC East is going to be really good. And, of course, the Atlantic Division in the NHL is very good. And we do have a question.
Yeah, we have one question. What relevance is Clemens being at Canseco's party have on the case that he took performance-enhancing drugs? What I'd like to say about that is him going to the party does not have anything to do with him taking the drugs other than the fact that supposedly that's where they talked about the drugs. But it really hurt them of proof that he was at the party, because if there's nothing to worry about him being at the party, then why would he have cared that he wasn't at the party? Do you understand? If, let's say, this party, they didn't talk about going on steroids, then why would Roger Clemens have denied it and lied about not being there, but then that kid had pictures of Roger Clemens at the party? And if that's why I believe that this is not going to help Clemens, because if this party, if it wasn't relevant to drugs, then why should Roger Clemens denied going to this party. He could have said, oh, I was at the party, but what does that have to do with me being on drugs? Instead, he denied it, and the proof showed that he was there. So now people are going to say, oh, maybe he did do drugs, because why would he deny that party so much? You know,
yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
Well, I mean, the big thing really right now is that he's being investigated under perjury charges, which is lying under oath. And if he was at that party, that's already one problem, that he lied. And I think you're right. It's suspicious. I mean, any party that Jose Canseco throws, that doesn't mean, oh, you know, if you attend Canseco's party, that means you did steroids. I mean, that's obviously not the case. I don't know what he was trying to hide. I mean, you don't have to go to a party to talk about steroids, as you said. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to hide, but it does make him look bad that he was lying like that. There was no need. And then the second question that this person has is the point of Isaiah telling Marbury not to go to any more games. You know what? I don't know. The whole Knicks team, it's been a mess all year. Marbury is not going to be a Knick next year. And, you know, he's not going to be a Knick. Isaiah Thomas is not going to be part of the Knicks. And you can't really say anything about the Knicks. I mean, they've already lost 41 games. It's just ridiculous at this point. And fans are just waiting for the season to end, get a new coach, get a new general manager, get new players, and draft some new guys. What was the point of telling him not to come up? The answer is, I don't know. There really was no point. You know, I don't know what it is with that at all. It makes absolutely no sense. Again, if you want to contact us about the show, call us, 718-508-9443. You can also IM us on AOL Instant Messenger at gmen1021-1780. Or if you have a Blog Talk Radio account, you can talk to us in our Blog Talk Radio web chat. So please give us your questions. Tell us what you have to say. And we are going to take a two-minute timeout.
Why is Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan the best sports radio show for you to tune into? We've had new face sports writer Jim Bandback on our show.
The baseball season is so long, and then it's long enough where you can play so poorly for, you know, we're not talking, you know, 2 weeks here. They were playing poorly for over a month.
NHL.com's Evan Grossman has been on our show.
This is the worst, this unstoppable force that everybody thought they were after winning all the runs. And then the Rangers were actually a little bit better against him than the Islanders were. They weren't quite as physical, and I don't think the Rangers' defense is as good as the Islanders. But
we have also had New York Mets beat writer from the New York Post, Mark Hale, on our show.
The Mets not just being a good team or a competitive team, but the Mets being consistently over the last year and a half one of the two or three best teams in baseball.
And, of course, we've had New York Rangers radio broadcaster and Fox announcer Kenny Albert on our show.
Back-to-back-to-back, Ramirez, Rubel, Veritek, off the rookie Chase Wright is making only his second career start. Four consecutive Red Sox home runs in the third inning.
We have even had NBC sports anchor Bruce Beck on our show.
And now the guy that was the stable guy, Mark and Evan, is gone, Joe Torre. And now it looks again like there's a big Steinbrenner, you know, who's running the show, and that's Hank. I think he's the guy that's got his dad's personality in terms of a little bit of a temper, and who knows what's going to happen here with all these free agents.
In addition, we've had Yankees beat writer for MLB.com, Brian Hoke, on our show.
You know, if the Yankees falter like they did in the first half, I could see a real situation where they're in third or even as low as fourth. Probably not fourth, but I could see a situation where the Yankees finish in third place.
You're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. It's the best sports radio show the Internet can handle.
Okay, welcome back to the show, Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan Live. We do have a caller on the line, 516 area code. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot, and you guys are doing a great job so far. And I just want to talk about today's Rangers shootout win against the Flyers. I was at Madison Square Garden to see the game, and boy, what a game it was. It was back-and-forth action, but it all came down to defense. The Rangers really held Philadelphia down defensively.
Yes, they did.
They held Philadelphia down.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did. I mean, the Philadelphia did score a lot of goals today, but the Rangers still did look pretty good today, had the big shootout victory, fourth straight win. That was very big for the New York Rangers, and they're in seventh place in the Eastern Conference right now.
Also, their guys from the trading deadline, Backman and Schustrom, got their first Ranger goal today. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's really great to see that the Rangers' offense is really starting to click. You saw in the beginning of the season they were really struggling on offense. They couldn't really find their goal scorers, but now everything seems to be clicking, and you know that your team is really doing well when you can win these high-scoring games and not only the low-scoring ones, and to win 5-4 in a shootout. I think it's going to be a big boost, a fourth win in a row, and the Rangers are looking very good right now.
Go ahead.
I was just going to also expand on that. I mentioned the first goals before. It's good that the New York Rangers, the move that they made, ended up helping them. The guys immediately jumped onto this team and made a contribution. So that's also big for the Rangers.
And also, one thing that I didn't really understand was that during the last two games at Philadelphia, Steve Valiquette had back-to-back shutouts. Today, I didn't know why Tom Rennie didn't start Valiquette over Lundqvist.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that either. We were talking about that earlier, and I think it was a good move by Rennie to take him out after the three goals. Lundqvist probably would have bounced back had he been kept in, but after last time, because what happened with Valiquette's second shutout win is by playing him, you ended up giving Lundqvist 8 days off, which could have made him rusty, and he was still willing to go with Valiquette then. And I think in this situation where that wouldn't have been the case, I don't know why it would have hurt to put Valiquette in, so I definitely agree with you in that fact. And I would have started Valiquette as well, but the important thing is they did come out with the victory, and they got their fourth straight win, which is big.
The Islanders have been red hot during the last 2 weeks, but they're coming to the Garden to take on the Rangers. What do you see in that game? It's going to be a really tough game for the Blue Shirts.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of tension flying for sure. Islanders really fighting for a playoff spot. They're in 10th right now, and they're going to need to get the win against the Rangers. It's a home-and-home series. Rangers trying to maintain a spot. Islanders trying to get a spot. Should be really exciting. Two outstanding goalies. So, I could see either team winning. The Islanders have had a lot of success in the past against the Rangers. Rangers looked the better against the Islanders this year than in previous years, especially last year. Something we're going to have to wait and see on.
All right, that's good. All right, so continue your good work, and have a great night, fellas.
All right, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
So, thank you for the call again. Talking some New York Rangers, I just want to quickly talk New York Knicks. As we get to the end, we did mention it a little bit before about Stephon Marbury, but also people are talking about Patrick Ewing potentially becoming a coach for the New York Knicks next year. And
is still going on?
And when asked about it, Patrick Ewing said, "That's definitely something I want, but am I ready?" He said, "Something I want being a head coach." So he said, "That's definitely something I want, but am I ready? You won't know until you get the offer." So we'll see if the Knicks ask him. Ewing's been successful as an assistant coach. Now maybe the Knicks would consider him being their head coach. And, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Patrick Ewing could definitely do a good job with that. What do you think if Patrick Ewing were to be the coach of the Knicks, Evan?
It can't be any worse than Isaiah Thomas being coach of the Knicks. Patrick Ewing, even if he's a bad coach, he'll draw a lot of fans. Who wouldn't want to go out and watch Patrick Ewing coach the Knicks? And
well, the Knicks are still drawing fans, which
not a lot. Patrick Ewing, I think he could do a very good job as the coach. He played for many seasons. He played until he's very old, and after all those years of experience, I think he'll be a very good coach, he can really teach Eddie Curry how to be a dominant center in the NBA, which Eddie Curry, he does not really know how to do that. and I think he'll make a positive impact on the Knicks. Hopefully that'll happen. What do you think, Mark?
I don't know if I think it'll happen. I don't know if it's really realistic, but again, we'll have to wait and see. I wouldn't mind it, but there's probably other candidates out there. But then again, I never know what Dolan is doing, and I don't know who he's going to be looking for in terms of coaching. You know, we spoke to Jim Baumbach a while ago about, you know, potential replacements for Isaiah. I think Patrick Ewing was one of them, but he had a list of 10 guys. And I can't remember all of them right now, but those guys are also candidates. So something that we'll have to wait and see on. Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan is a sports radio show created for informing the public of the latest in sports news and insights. Our show is broadcast over the internet through blogtalkradio.com from Jericho, New York. The views, comments, and statements of our interviews and guests do not necessarily reflect that of the host. We do not also claim ownership of any material used on the sports show or on the website, including musical beds, instrumentations, voiceovers, effects, team logos, league, and team names otherwise stated. If you wish to remove anything, email us, sports7withmarkandevan@yahoo.com. Email us there during off-show hours as well for any other sports questions or anything else you have. Also go to freewebs.com/sports7withmarkandevan. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Lots of exciting stuff going on there. Also, up-to-the-minute news and scores, player news. There's sports videos, news about upcoming shows, past shows. Check out my EDI Media.
And Mark and I may be the coach for the Knicks next season, depending on how things go. So look out for that.
It is definitely a sure possibility. Are you going to be here next week, Evan?
I hope. I'm going to Massachusetts, but I think I'm going to be back in time. I really hope so.
Well, regardless, again, I'm going to try to see if I could broadcast the Jericho Jayhawks game. They did not grant me access last time. MSG will be there on Saturday. Again, good luck. I'm going to see if I could get access to that game. But this show, whether Evan is here or not, will go on. Tune in next week. Same time, same place, same great show with Sports Evan with Mark and Evan live out of Jericho. I'm Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Branoff, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
So long, everybody.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Touching warm, reaching out.